welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you've tuned to the broadcast again this week, and we're picking up our study here in John chapter 21. John chapter 21, the Lord Jesus has said unto his disciples, Peter and six others that have gone fishing up at the Sea of Galilee, going back to what that would say we're familiar with, going back to either provide for themselves, which work is good, but these brethren have been given a command by the Lord to be there at Jerusalem and to be leaders in the church, witnesses of his resurrection in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the othermost parts of the world. And Peter says, I go fishing. And he leads some other brethren along. They're responsible. They go with him, but he led in that, and so he has a responsibility also. He says, I go fishing. They go fish. They fish all night, catch nothing. The Lord says, appears to him. He tells them to cast the net on the other side. They have a great draw of fishes. They can't get it up in the boat. They bring it to the land. The Lord Jesus is there with provision. He says, bring what you've caught. And he says to him, come and dine. Fellowship. Not just eat your meal and be done. He says, fellowship. Or come over here and let's visit. And in verse number 12, it says, Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. And so when the Lord Jesus shows up, it's known by everyone that it is him. Then, verse number 13, Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. So he serves. The resurrected Christ serves. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. So he gives them bread and he gives them fish. Who do we get our provision from? Well, Brother Jim, I go out and work for it. I work for what me and my family and I use and need. Well, yeah, that's good and that's the design. But where does that come from? It comes from the Lord. And the Lord is exhibiting this here. He had a meal prepared for them on the shore well before they were able to draw so many fishes. They drew the fishes at his command. They'd fished all night and were unable to get anything themselves. But at the blessing of the Lord, they had more than they could handle. And the Lord Jesus has this meal for them, and he says, come and enjoy this meal and fellowship together. Come and dine. And then the Lord serves them. He gives them the bread and he gives them the fish. And he shows us that the Lord is the provider. The Lord is the provider. Any way we look at it, anything that we do and pursue, it is the Lord that provides. You know, it's the Lord that provides the way seed works for the farmer. Yeah, farmers go out and do their work and they do their planting and all that. You know what? If the Lord doesn't cause that seed, now I know there's companies that make seed and popular ones and not so popular ones, and they make seed and all that. You know, it's the Lord that's in control of making that seed work. It's the Lord that's in control of making the rain come at the right time. It's the Lord that's in control of the nutrients. The farmer would say, bah, I'm the one that treats my field. I put all that down. It's the Lord that's created it and done it, and it makes it work. If the Lord takes his blessing off of that, nothing will grow. I'm sure every farmer has had a time that he would put seed down and nothing would come up, or it'd be dead seed or old seed for some reason. You know, that's the Lord. The Lord controls those things. Yeah, we know functionally how things grow and how things work, but we don't make it do so. We have discovered an understanding and have a knowledge about how things work, but we don't make it work. It's the Lord that makes it work. It's the Lord that provides. And he reminds them of that as he makes the meal for them. And their frustration tells them what to do to be able to catch some fish, and then serves them of this meal that he has made. Do you dine with the Lord? And I'm not necessarily talking about eating a meal. When you sit down to eat a meal, you certainly should thank the Lord for his provision and food. We live in a thankless society. Again, talking about that witness again. If you're a child of God, you claim to be saved by the Lord, are you a witness of the world? When you sit down to eat your meal, do you thank God for that meal, or do you just gobble it up? Gobble it up like a pig or a dog. And I'm not one to be crude or critical, but animals are thankless, aren't they? And of course the evolutionist tells us that we've evolved from slime and monkeys and such as that. And that we're just another animal. Are we thankless like animals are? I mean, that's the way they are. But mankind, we are able to know different. The Lord provides everything. Every whit of life, the Lord provides and works in it. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, come and dine. Do you dine with the Lord? Do you fellowship with the Lord, child of God? A sinner that is without Christ, that's hearing my voice, you don't even have fellowship with the Lord. You know what? You need fellowship with the Lord by His salvation. You need to know Him as Savior. You're a sinner, lost and undone, and you need to repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in Him. Be saved by Him. It goes on to say here in verse number 14, now this is now the third time that Jesus showed Himself to His disciples after that He was risen from the dead. So that's interesting. In previous broadcasts, I've mentioned about the 40 days, and I find that very interesting about the 40 days after the Lord's resurrection. The Feast of Weeks is at hand, and they're counting off to the day of Pentecost, which will be 50 days from the waving of the sheaf for the first fruits, that spring harvest of wheat and barley and those grains and such. And they're counting that off. The Lord Jesus Christ died and was buried for 3 days and 3 nights, and so we call that day 3. And then He teaches His disciples and meets with them. So from the Lord's crucifixion, it's 43 days to His ascension. That's within the 50. The 50 started at about day 2 or day 3 of the Lord being in the grave, if I understand that right. And so that makes there be about a 5 day, 4, 5, 6 day window there from the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ to when the day of Pentecost came about, and the Lord did what He did in authenticating His church and great miracle work there amongst His church and the miracle of tongues and the witness to those that were in Jerusalem. 14 different languages heard those Galilean apostles and disciples preach the word of God in their own native tongue, and those men didn't know those languages. So the Lord is teaching them over those 40 days, but this tells us this is the third time that the Lord has appeared. And I just want to take a note here to look at the first and the second time. In John chapter 20, we've gone over this, but the Lord has raised from the dead. He has appeared to Mary Magdalene and has told her to go tell the disciples that He is risen. And in verse number 19 of chapter 20, we read this. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, and so they've killed the Lord, why wouldn't they come and kill them? Came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when He had so said, He showed them His hands and His side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And so here's the first time after the Lord's resurrection. On the first day of the week, He appears to His disciples on that first day of the week. And and reveals himself, his resurrection unto them. And then he gives them the commission there, as the Father has sent him, even so send I you, he says in verse 21. And so then we come to verse 24, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we've seen the Lord. We saw the Lord. He's alive. But he said unto them, except I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger to the print of the nails and thrust my hand to his side, I will not believe. Said, I've got to see him. You would think that Thomas was maybe from Missouri, right? The show me state. Seeing is believing. And then we see here in the following week, and after 8 days, verse 26 of chapter 20, again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the door being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. The point there is Jesus didn't pass through the door, but he appeared. But when he appeared physically, not a spirit or a ghost, as we would say, not as a spirit, but he appeared physically. This is the power of God being manifested. Jesus has taken his life back. He's risen from the dead, and he has appeared to his disciples not only once, but a week later on the first day of the week again, twice. And so the Lord is appearing to them more than once, and they are there witnessing that the Lord Jesus Christ has come. And listen to what it says. It says, peace be unto you, verse 27 of chapter 20, John 20, 27. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. He said, Thomas, believe. It's for real. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. I don't think Thomas even needed to touch the Lord. When he saw him, he believed him. He knew it was Jesus. My Lord and my God, and Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And that's speaking about us. Do you believe? Do you believe that you're a sinner, as the Lord has said? You're condemned and fallen in Adam. You're condemned and fallen in yourself. You desire sin and nothing else. Have you seen yourself as a sinner that the Lord sees that you are? Have you seen the Lord Jesus Christ and the message that he brings? Repent and believe the gospel. Have you seen the Lord Jesus Christ that he says, he told Nicodemus there in John chapter 3, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Have you seen Jesus Christ crucified, shedding his precious blood, pouring out his soul unto death, yielding himself a sacrifice for you, for your sin? Have you seen Jesus Christ not only having died, being buried, and for your sins and for your need, but also having raised from the dead that he might impart unto you everlasting life? Have you seen the Lord? We point you to him. We point you to him. The Lord Jesus Christ, he is the great I am. He is the all in all. Jesus Christ is all you need for the salvation of your soul, for the forgiveness of your sins, for the granting to you of everlasting life. May the Lord help and bless with his word. I see their time has passed for now. May the Lord bless you with his word and his truth. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles, and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.